This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. An abbreviated show today. We will take you up to Mariners pregame coming up at 3 o'clock. We got Michael Bumpus with us here in just a minute. And coming up at 2:30, Stephen Souza Jr. will join us as he has been brought up to the big club. Jared Kelnick option to AAA Tacoma. Bump, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. I mean, this is a move I think a lot of us were going, okay, yeah, if Kyle Lewis and Mitch Haniger were healthy, this might have happened a bit ago, but I guess they felt good enough about Stephen Souza Jr. or maybe bad enough about Kelnick to say, all right, we got to make this move right now because, I mean, honestly, he hadn't been improving at the plate. They'd been sitting him when left-handers were on the hill, so you just weren't getting what you needed from him, and having him sit every time there's a lefty just seems sort of pointless at this particular time.
Was Son of Augustifson saying this was the day he was brought up last year?
I think he said,
exact day. So Friday the 13th, not a good day for Jared Kelnick. But I'm looking at he's 3-for-25 bump in the month of May. So, you know, that's what, 10 games? Yeah, it was time.
Yeah, it was time. I mean, I think, honestly, if he didn't pinch hit that home run the other day or last week, it probably would have happened sooner. Guys, what, 140, average 36 strikeouts, not very patient or mature. I would say mature at the plate. Like, he's looking at pitches that he probably should swing at. And you look at who they brought up. I mean, Steven, he's a local product, 499 major league game, 72 home runs. They're like, look, all right, let's let this young man develop and bring in a guy who has shown that, okay, he can be productive at this level.
Yeah, it's beyond the right move. And it may be, again, if they were healthy, it would have happened a while ago. But there was just no good coming from him coming up here and really just struggling and adding to his frustration at the plate. He needs to go down there and get things worked out. And hopefully he takes some level of pride in what he did defensively, because he was very good in right field. He was having a really good year defensively, offensively, just – I mean, he was becoming a liability to the point that you were sitting him when lefties were on the hill. You couldn't have it. So you send him down. Souza gets called up, and Souza's a guy. He's local, so people will automatically love him. But he's got experience. He's 33 years old. He's had a season where he hit 30 home runs in the big league. So he's had experience and had success at this level. And hopefully he can fill that gap at minimum until Haniger gets healthy, or until Kyle Lewis is available, or until Kelnick gets his problems worked out in the minor league system. But we talked to Mike Blowers yesterday about this, just about Kelnick in general, and his observation was he just hasn't adjusted to how the league is pitching him.
At the plate, which is the most important part of it all, I think he is a young man that is having a hard time understanding what exactly the league is doing to him and giving into that. And it's a hard thing to get to, I think, for a younger player. He's seen a ton of off-speed pitches. Like, they're not challenging him at all. And it just, for me, just watching him, I feel like at times he just won't give in to the fact that this is what they're going to do to me, and I have to be ready or sit on a breaking ball or a changeup or a split.
So just not responding. The chess match we always talk about. Mm-hmm. There's somebody comes up, there's not a lot of information on them, they have success right out of the gate, and then the league will adjust. All right, here are the holes in their swing. Here's what they struggle with, up and in, low and away, whatever it is, off speed. Doesn't matter. That word gets out, they adjust, then you make your adjustment. It's that game, that back and forth. He hasn't made his move yet. He didn't adjust to their move. So, hopefully in AAA he'll get it figured out. You just wonder, how does he handle it? He's a guy who's so tense, so intense, and obviously has a lot of confidence in what he can do, and we've talked about his comments in the past. Second time being sent down, not having the success you thought he would, that he thought he would, you wonder how that works with him mentally.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and your emotions too, and that's part of being a pro, is being emotionally mature. And that's something that he's a 22-year-old. I mean, Divis had a tweet about how at age 22 he was, you know, his greatest accomplishment in life was perfecting the stone cold 2-beer chug and sneaking in 2 pints of blackberry brandy into Bobcat Stadium by duct taping them under my arms.
Oh God!
He said he still has scarring from the duct tape removal. At 22, and then, you know, the other thing which we've talked about forever is that this kid has never failed. Last year, you know, there were times, certainly, but he finished well at the end, but he just hasn't gotten into that groove. You can see Julio slowly getting there, and it's really nice to watch. It's like his process and how he processes what the pitchers are trying to do to him, and his decision making he's stuck with it through, you know, getting squeezed at the plate quite a bit on third strike called. So yeah, it's just a matter of him getting in the right mindset, because physically, you mentioned, Bob, how good he is in the outfield. I mean, the dude can run and he can throw. Mm-hmm. So just got to get that old pesky batting average up there a little bit.
The dude is an athlete. There's no denying that. We've seen him track baseballs, hit out to the outfield plenty of times, comfortably making the tough play. But it's all about his approach at the plate. And he reminds me, we've gotten real into, like, plants at my house, right? My wife and I, we have too many plants. Like, it's crazy.
But so is it we've gotten into plants, or your wife has?
Well, I support my wife in everything she does, Bob. So.
Right answer.
That's what that is. But we got plants that are going to survive through, like, the week of rain where there's no sun, right? They're surviving. You see them getting better. Then we have plants who just shut down when things are dark and bad. And that's what I see with Julio and Jared. I see in Julio a guy who fought the horrible calls at the plate when it comes to the strike zone, but he's being patient. You know, he's figuring things out. He makes it through the dark days. So where you look at Kelnick, to where when things are bad, they're really bad. So there's different ways to make it through some things and to be successful. Like you pointed out, Dave, he went down to the minors last year and came back and was one of the best hitters on the team. You know, so maybe that's a formula that works for him. I don't think it's too early to say it's done with him. You know how baseball is. It's such a grind, man. But this is probably the right move to send him down and to let him kind of blossom and fill himself again.
Bump, by the way, that's how I say we have cats.
Okay. Because you support Shannon and everything she does.
Exactly. I have one cat. We have cats.
That's how you stay happily married. You gotta have the correct terminology there. But yeah, he was certainly a different hitter when he came back. But it wasn't. I feel like that gets played up a bit, because if you go through his game log last year, and this isn't to jump all over the guy, but he came out and he really struggled. You look at what he did very early in the season when he was called up in May. Hit 118 that month with a 211 on base. Then the next month, he didn't have a hit in June, and he got sent down. So he was a .00 average with a .063 on base. So it was brutal month of June. He gets sent down. He comes back. Hits 154 in July, 228 on base. Hits 196 in August with a .282 on base. And then he picked it up and hit .242 in September with a .321 on base. So he wasn't tearing the cover off the ball, but decidedly better than he was. The bar was really low, obviously, from those previous months. So it was hard to look at and go, well, he's got it all figured out now. Yeah, it was a step in the right direction, but I would just put the brakes on a bit about, wow, he really figured it out when he came back up last year. No, he certainly looked better, but he was far from just lighting up the opposition.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just a matter of him finding that mindset. I think he will. Look, it's tough to watch. You know, it wasn't so bad watching Julio struggle, just because, you know, you could tell he was kind of trying to take it light, and, you know, he always has a smile on his face, and you can just see, like, Kelnick is like the picture of frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And, you know, you see him hitting his bat and throwing his helmet down. By the way, why didn't he get kicked out of the game for doing that?
Like, because he wasn't dealing with that particular ump.
Like Luis Torrens,
who made that call with his head all the way up his backside. It was a pretty impressive the way he was able to do that. But, yeah, you know, and the other part is you know, you're looking at, he's not the only one. I mean, you got guys who aren't producing that have a resume. He doesn't have the resume. He's still a young guy, 22 years old. And when he got called up the first time, he'd only had 6 games at the AAA level. He didn't have much experience at all. So it was... You know, he's far from a finished product, but, you know, 22 years old, didn't even have a 2020 season, obviously because of COVID. He was in the minors, so he didn't even play that year. And then you go into the next year in 2021, he was called up after just 6 games at the AAA level. So, you know, not a ton of experience. He's got all the ability in the world. You assume he's going to find it. But, you know, listen, if Tom Murphy were healthy, Cal Raleigh would be down at AAA. He looks... As bad as Kelnick has looked at the plate, Raleigh has looked worse. He feels like an automatic out when he steps up there, like he's got no chance. And that's a switch hitter who's torn it up in the minor league system. And then when he gets up to the big leagues, he doesn't have a ton of at-bats at this particular point. But, boy, he doesn't fill you full of hope. And we've talked about Toro. We've talked about Winker. We've talked about – I mean, there's struggles up and down this lineup that need to get figured out. But – Kelnick, you hope he takes it the right way, Bump, and I want to play this cut here from Jerry DePoto. I would imagine this is a hard message for any young guy to hear when you're being demoted. You're being sent down, and Jerry talking about this, saying, hey, sending them down isn't punishment, it's to help them.
We have to figure out how, because we have a number of players that need it, and we have to do the best we can to get them in a better place. And that goes really for everyone in our organization. I don't want to say... It's never something you want to view through the lens of being punitive. Mm-hmm. You want to help and find a way to get back to a good place where your process is good. And, you know, we were able to do it a week ago with Matt Brash, and there are a few more guys that we would like to get into that situation, and we have to find a way.
So it's, yeah, and that makes perfect sense. But if you're the guy on the receiving end of that message, probably hard to sit there and nod your head and go, you know what, you're right. This is for my own good. I can't wait to get down there and work this stuff out. You're probably ticked. You're probably, you know, angry, depressed, bummed, but it's probably the last thing you're thinking about is how good it's going to be for you.
Yeah, especially when you're 22 years old, right?
Yeah.
When you've worked your whole life to get to this spot, you've gotten there, they brought you down, they bring you back up. My hope is just that he goes in with the right mindset. Like, in the moment, it's okay to feel what you're feeling, to be frustrated, be angry, be upset. But once you get down there, let's go to work. You know, me and Dave are from the NFL guys. You get cut. Ain't no development league. Ain't no AAA. Ain't no AA. You know what I mean? Like, once they cut you, you're done. Better luck going to Canada or the arena football. There's still opportunity. So it's not that they're giving up on him. They're saying, look, all right, what can we do to help this young man along? Because at one point, he was the number 3 prospect, I believe, or I think that was Julio, actually. But he was the top prospect in all of baseball. So it's all about his mindset. It's hard to be 22 and for an organization to tell you that you're not good enough right now. But if he goes in and he grinds, I think he has all the tools to be a good professional.
In the timing of it, I'm glad it happened before the Mets series, because that's where he came from, in the Cano deal. Now you're seeing these headlines about how the Mets won that trade, even though they're paying Cano $40 million not to play for him. They won that trade. And I'm like, really? They wanted to run Diaz out of town when he first got there because he was terrible for whatever reason.
Now he's good.
Now he's very good. But they were beyond angry about the trade because Cano gets popped for the substances he was taking, serves a suspension, and then he's not even close to the player he was here in Seattle or certainly in New York. Diaz is getting lit up, and they are beyond angry, want to get him out of there, and Kelnick's a star of the future. So it looks completely lopsided at the time. And even though they got nothing out of Cano, and they are now paying him millions upon millions not to play for them, the perception is somehow they won the trade. And I assume it's just based on what Diaz is doing at this particular moment.
Yeah.
So probably good that he got out of there before he got to New York and heard about it. I mean, there was going to be nothing good that comes from him stepping up to the plate. Yeah, you know, in Queens out there at City Field and struggling or striking out and hearing it from that crowd. Because if anything, he was going to feel more pressure to show them, here's what you missed out on. You guys traded me. Here's what you missed out on. And so he's already got pressure of struggling and then to try to stick it to the team that moved on from you. it's probably good that they got this done right now. And again, if they were healthy, it would have happened earlier. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But one more on Kelnick. John Morosi, who's on with us every week, talked about he just needs to get some time that's not in the spotlight right now.
It takes a lot of work. When you're reformulating your swing or going through a slump, you have to put a bunch of swings in every day. That's a lot of toll on your body, and you're already spending a lot of your efforts at 2 o'clock, 5 hours before the game starts, and you're tired already, and then you're really chasing it. So I think Jared probably has to get to a spot where he goes to a less pressurized environment and get the at-bats.
And that's where he's going. So, listen, if they can get him rolling, get hit. I mean, this is a very young, exciting team. If you get Julio going, he's hitting well over 300 in the month of May. He just seems like he's kind of getting it figured out. His on-base percentage is great. If you can get Kelnick, he doesn't have to be a superstar, but don't be a liability at the plate. Come up here, hit 250. You know, have a 330 on base. You know, work some walks, find your way on base. Occasional power. He doesn't have to come out and be Mike Trout. It'd be great if he were, but if he could just take that step and be consistent with it, I think that goes a long way in helping lengthen this lineup, because, again, he's not the only guy struggling. These other guys with the resume, Winker, Toro, those guys, and I understand Toro's not been an everyday player, but he's been in the league for a bit. These guys got to get it figured out as well.
Yeah, it's, man, you know, the thing that's hurting Kelnick right now is that there's so many strikeouts with not too many balls in play and him on base. You know, you look at Winker. Right, Winker's struggling, but he's getting on base. He's bringing something to the table, right? Julio's been slowly ascending throughout this whole season. To where with Kelnick, it's literally boom or bust. Like, there's no in between with him right now. So, if I'm reading what you're saying correctly, like, just find an in between right now to kind of get you through this, and then eventually you'll come out on top. So, for him, the in between is being sitting down and trying to figure some things out.
Really, really quick, I'm sorry, Bob. Edwin Diaz. I mean, he was booed immediately. There and 196 here his last year, and then it was like six.
Yeah, he was brutal.
And now he's
there.
Back.
Yep, he's back. All right, let's take two.
Well, we have a new look in the Mariners lineup. In addition to Steven Souza Jr., who's in there batting eighth and playing right field, Mike Ford is the DH, and he's hitting seventh today.
Well, couldn't be any worse than what's been happening. Maybe just some new blood, some guys that haven't been in that clubhouse and dealing with the grind of a man. 16-game, you know, streak here, or 16 games in a row, and we're getting our tails kicked left and right, and we win one of three here and one of three there, and, you know, mentally that's got to beat you down a bit, whether you're a young guy or older guy. So probably good to have a couple of guys in that lineup. We'll see if they can get it done, but they don't come in with that pressure of, man, I haven't strung any hits together. I got to get a hit. I got to get it going. They don't have that attached to them.
Yeah, and for service, I mean, you sit there. I mean, baseball is all about, you know, it's a long season, and you stick with what your plan is going in. And at what point do you kind of try to shake things up? And I guess he's to that point.
You're looking for a spark. Mike Ford might be the spark. Who knows?
Well, Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was released from jail this morning after he was arrested yesterday for second-degree criminal tampering charges. And this is a part of it here. I hadn't heard of this before, but, quote, domestic violence enhancer. That's the official name of that as well. So there is a domestic violence component to it. The NFL is reviewing the case under its personal conduct policy.
I have never heard that phrase. Domestic violence enhancer. I have no idea what that means.
No.
I tried to look it up yesterday. Could not get a straight answer. So, I'm not sure exactly. I didn't know he actually was in jail.
Oh, yeah, but. We were talking about that yesterday, that he was. But there was no word as to what he did, just that he was being held and hadn't been released. And I still haven't seen. Have you seen any details as to what he's been accused of?
Domestic violence enhancer. No, I don't know. That's what they said it was, but I don't know
honestly,
what that means.
Honestly, I was looking at it. I could not figure out what that meant. But, you know, obviously he has I don't know if he had a restraining order or something like that. But, you know, I'm looking he started five games last year. Was he a first-round draft choice? I want to say he was.
I believe he was, 15th overall pick.
Yeah.
At
so,
Alabama.
I mean, that's something that, you know, I don't know if this is going to mean a suspension or anything like that, but... You know, this is bad news, obviously, but, you know, if he's not going to play in the first game of the year, that would be helpful for the Seahawks.
Yeah, it would help. I think what I got from it was intimidation or seeking revenge or something like that. So there's a past situation that happened, and it's ongoing, and I feel like him and whoever he's dealing with had a little situation. So that's what I got from Domestic Violence Enhancer. I hope everybody's okay in that situation, but if he does not suit up week one, I'm mad.
Yeah. One less weapon for Russell. Yeah. All right. Take Two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/CyberKnifeProstate. Coming up, he's a Washington native, and he's making his Mariners debut this afternoon. Steven Souza Jr. will join us next. It is Wyman and Bob with Michael Bumpuson. It is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
It is time, everybody, for our player spotlight here with Wyman and Bob. Seattle Sports Station on 710. As the Seattle Mariners are in New York to take on the New York Mets. And we're going to see a new name on the roster out there. Hopefully see some action out in the field and up at the plate. He is with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Steven Souza Jr. How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
Hey, well, first, congrats getting called up. I mean, I would imagine even, you know, you've got experience in this league. You've achieved things in this league, so you're not a rookie getting called up for the first time ever. But still, what is that feeling like? You've been working, you've been grinding in the minors, trying to get back up. You're back up. Is there nerves? Is there just a different level of satisfaction being a veteran? How does it feel?
No, you know what? This one is different. Even last year going up in LA and spending time there was kind of a big excitement just because I was still kind of bouncing back from my injury, so to speak. But this one's different. I'm not going to lie. This one, I feel like I'm excited, but I'm up here on a mission, and I'm up here. I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to put my name back where it needs to be.
Well, how much satisfaction is it doing it for your hometown team? I mean, you're a guy that you know, you went to Cascade High School. You had at one point committed to Washington State with the idea of playing baseball there. So obviously this is a different venue, a different avenue as compared to other teams. How much does that change things for you?
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely a dream come true. And I thank God for allowing me to be able to play out this childhood dream that I had when I was a young kid. You know, I have pictures of Edgar Martinez batting glove night going to the Kingdom, and we have videos of going down there and getting Larry Walker's autograph at the Kingdom. And so it's cool to, you know, playing here for the first time in 2015, and playing at T-Mobile was cool, but being able to put on the same uniform that your baseball heroes put on growing up is going to be pretty special.
Well, you mentioned Edgar, and I would imagine anybody who picks up a bat at the level that you're playing looks at Edgar as a role model and, you know, would love to be able to hit like him. Who else were there other players? Obviously, I would assume Griffey's in there somewhere, but who were the players you really, really focused on as a young guy coming up?
Yeah, there's probably two different stages, right? So when I was really young, it was all Griffey for me. And I think you can see a lot of the way I play the game. I just try to emulate. I just try and have a lot of fun like he did. I smile a lot. I just enjoy this game that God's given me. And I go all out the same way Griffey did when he got hurt running into the wall several times. I do the same thing. And I play as hard as I can, and I play with a smile. And, yeah, I watched Griffey growing up a ton. And then as I got older, I loved watching Alex Rodriguez and his swing from the right side and tried to emulate that. And so the way that Griffey played the game and the swing that A-Rod had is basically, at a young age, how I tried to emulate my game.
You know, the majority of your pro career you've spent in right field. I know you've played each spot in the outfield at different times, but the majority in right field. So was there any particular affection for watching Buehner or Ichiro with this team?
I did. I loved Ichiro, and I loved watching Jay. Definitely the way that Ichiro played the outfield was it's fun to watch. But, you know, I came up as a shortstop, so I was always watching the infielders and the way that they did things. So I didn't really pay too much attention to the outfield until I got into pro ball.
Now, how does that change happen? I mean, is that something you said you come up as a shortstop, you get drafted, and you're a shortstop. Is it a matter of them watching you in the infield or looking at your build and size or your arm and just saying, you know what, man, you'd be better in the outfield? Or how does that transition happen?
Yeah, mine was kind of unique, to be honest with you. But, you know, I slid over quick to third base. You don't see too many 6'4", 225 shortstops out there in the league. I mean, there's a couple out there, but they're pretty rare. So I slid over to third base pretty quickly. But, you know, I could really catch the ball over there. I just had trouble with the timing of the throwing at third base, and I did it short. And so they just felt with my athleticism and being an easy transition to go to the outfield. And it was actually relieving and freeing, and it reminded me of playing wide receiver in high school.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, give me a sense of, you know, obviously you've been focused on your game at the minor league level, but I'm sure you've been keeping an eye on what's been going on with this big club. And offensively, it's been a struggle as of late. They've had a hard time winning games. What have you seen just from a distance and watching what's going on with the big club?
There's been some injuries. I mean, Mitch is definitely out. I mean, he's one of the best hitters in the league for sure. I don't think anybody would question that. And you just go through these lulls through the season. They would happen. I think if everybody was hitting, you know, 280 and you were going through this lull and we were 20 games over 500, you wouldn't really bat an eye at it. You're just saying it's just one of those lulls. But when it happens earlier in the year, it seems to get magnified. And then when it happens when you play good teams, it kind of gets even more magnified. And so I just think it's just a stretch that we're going through because these guys are good players and they're going to come through it.
Is it hard, Steven, not to press, especially if you're a younger guy? I mean, we look at Jared Kelnick, who has the spotlight on him, all these expectations. And I feel like you could almost see him just gripping that bat up there at the plate. There's a tension to it. And maybe Jesse Winker wanting to, you know, show, hey, I can get it done in the American League like I did in the National League. Even with experience, Is it hard not to press when things aren't going your way?
Yeah, 100%. And I think that all comes to the comfortability and just realizing that we're humans, right? I mean, we know that we're going to be good this year. Everybody wants to do good. And when you're not doing that, you feel like you're letting down your team. And, like, this game, as much as we want to quantify it and say it's a math problem, it's a dramatization. And there's real people and real feelings and real lives that are involved in. When you put careers and seasons and stuff, and these guys, Jared and Winker and everybody on this team, that they're pouring their heart and soul into working in the offseason to be really good, and it's not happening immediately, you tend to want to, you know, try harder and do better. And I've been in that same spot. And this is without talking to either of them, but, you know, we all just want to succeed. And so learning how to take a step back and be patient and knowing it's going to come. Jesse Winker's too talented. Jared Kelnick's too talented. They're going to come. But you have to be able to take a step back and take a deep breath and realize that not every AB is the end of the world, and not just every win is not determined on your at-bat either.
Yeah, and that's something I've tried to, you know, with our listeners who get frustrated. And I understand it's been two decades since the postseason has happened for the Mariners. So I get frustration. But the one thing I've been saying is you can look at this team and say a lot of things. You can't say nobody cares, or they're not trying, or they need to light a fire right under them. They're probably trying too hard and they need to relax a bit. Hey, just quickly, I mean, you're a guy that's had success in this league. You had a season you hit 30 home runs in, you know, some great production when you were in Tampa. How close are you to getting back to that guy? I know, you know, in life, you're a really young guy. In baseball, you're a veteran. You're an older player, I guess, especially in a clubhouse like this with 21-year-old Julio and 22-year-old Kelnick. So where are you at in your career just in terms of, hey, man, I can duplicate what I did at one point. I feel like I'm as good or maybe if not better.
Yeah, if I'm being honest from my heart, I feel like I'm there. It's taken me a while, and it's taken a lot of people and a lot of patience and perseverance, but I thank God for allowing me to keep focused on the things that matter. And it's come. I think I'm at the spot where I'm going to be able to replicate that and come out day in and day out and do those type of things. And look, it's a hard game up here. You know, everybody knows that, but I'm at least health-wise and ability-wise, I'm where I need to be right now. And I'm going to go out there and put my best foot forward.
Hey, last thing quickly before I let you go, I mentioned that you had committed to Washington State to play baseball, and I'm always leery of looking at facts on Wikipedia, but it said you committed to playing football as well there. Is that true? And if so, what position did you play?
Yeah, I was a wide receiver in high school. I was looking to try and basically I committed for baseball and was going to walk on and play football as a wide receiver. They were going to allow me to do that. And so that was – you know, something that I love. Football was one of my great passions, but, you know, I remember going to the USC game when they were playing Washington State, and I was standing by the tunnel, and Clay Matthews and Ray Maliuga and Taylor Mays and Brian Cushing all walked out. And there was no targeting when I was in high school. And I was with my dad, and I remember telling my dad, I was like, Dad, I'm the guy that's got to come across the middle. I don't think I'm going to make it out of here if I play football. So we decided to sign, you know, with the Nationals, and, you know, I think it's been a good decision.
I love that. That's great. That's great. Well, hey, man, congrats on getting called up. We can't wait to see you out there, and hopefully the fortunes turn for this team, this offense, and start playing up to the potential that everybody was expecting in this season. I look forward to seeing you out there, man, and really appreciate you taking time.
Yeah, absolutely. Go Mariners.
There you go. Look at that. Go Mariners. How about that? Steven Souza Jr., local kid, not really a kid in baseball years. He's 33, but he's had success at the major league level, and that I love that story about him as a, you know, he's going to be a walk-on to the Cougar football team, standing there watching the USC team walk by him with Taylor Mays and Brian Cushing and all those guys, and
yeah,
looking at his dad going, I don't think I'm going to get, I'm the one that has to go over the middle and catch the ball with these guys right there. I don't think I'm going to make it through the season.
So, you look at Taylor Mays, I mean, he was a huge safety.
Yeah, he was a big dude. Oh, he was a big hitter, too.
I knew he was local because when the Tampa Bay Rays came to town, there was a guy about four rows behind me and Danny that stood up and screamed, Steven! Steven! So, of course, you know what Danny did.
Started yelling Steven.
Danny started yelling Steven also. Of course, so now there's like three people yelling. Jeez. Another guy would start yelling Steven.
Annoying everybody else around them. Going,
local guy.
What is happening here? But yeah, he's been called up. He is in the lineup tonight. Jared Kelnick sent down to AAA in case you missed that bit of news. So we'll see how things look tonight with a revamped lineup. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson is no longer on the Seahawks, as we all know. But he's still making us say, why, man? That's coming up next. It's Wyman and Bob. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Tell me why, man? Why?
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
He's a habitual line stepper.
What were you thinking? What are you doing?
Why are you the way that you are?
It's the Why Man of the Week.
Why, man, coming your way. It is presented by Mazda of Everett, and it features a guy that's become very polarizing out here. It used to be you couldn't say a negative word about him. You didn't dare criticize anything Russell Wilson ever did. And now if you say anything good about him, you take the same level of heat. It's interesting how things change, Dave. But all of these teams got creative with the schedule unveiling and you know, sort of doing something that they thought was creative and funny on Twitter. And, you know, the Chargers the one that did the Pop-Tarts?
Well, for the opponents. Then they topped that by doing a big anime joke funny video. It's actually pretty impressive. They had all these little jokes about all the teams. They had a graveyard for the Seahawks and threw the Mariners in there.
Yeah, that seemed
made fun of
for.
Everyone. Yeah,
that seemed uncalled for.
They kind of took down the Seahawks, but they did well. The Chargers did well.
Yeah, yeah, and the Seahawks did the fake schedule, right? That was their thing. That was kind of funny. Yeah, by the way, I don't know if you know, Dave. You and I were watching that on your computer during a break yesterday, and Quandre looked legitimately mad. He took to Twitter basically saying, "I fooled you all. I'm a great actor or something. I knew it." Or
nah.
I don't know if he was trying to joke around with that or if he was trying to really convince people that he was in on it, but.
He wasn't.
No.
No, he was angry. And then afterwards.
Like, who do you want us to call? Roger!
Yeah. And it was like he was still angry after he found out that it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know,
he wasn't smiling.
Real.
It wasn't man, you got me. He was still just kind of like, huh, yeah, you got me.
And you know what, Bob? I love that about him. I love that about him, man.
So the Broncos did a little video that they put out there where Russell Wilson was playing the role of a summer intern, and it had Peyton Manning in it. That's a nice little paunch going. I don't know if you noticed that in the video.
I did kind of see a little bit there.
Yeah, just kind of the way he was walking down the hall, his kind of belly sticking out. But anyway, he was part of the video, and Russell Wilson is the new summer intern for the Broncos. They had these goofy glasses on him, and you know, he's answering phones, he's fetching equipment and food and things like that. But here's a little slice of that.
Mr. Manning's super busy today, so he's tasked me with getting the building ready for the schedule release, you know. But being the new guy on the job, it's been exciting so far, but I've realized I've got a lot to learn.
So was it cringy for you, Bob?
I think we're so used to this stuff from Russell that I kind of appreciate that he knows he gets mocked. He knows he gets picked on for being corny and goofy and, you know, all that. He still does it. He just is like,
he is
whatever.
A dad.
Yeah.
So he can make the dad jokes.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, whatever. He seems to have embraced his nerdiness.
His corniness. Yeah. Well, okay, so it had Russell. It had Peyton Manning. It had the head coach.
Yep. It had John Elway.
John Elway.
On a scooter, right?
I thought that was the goofiest part of the whole thing.
Was Elway's line?
Yeah, it's like, here it is, and he's on a scooter, and I'm like, that's not John Elway. John Elway was like, I remember Chuck Knox used to talk about Elway being like John Wayne, and he'd walk up, and he'd always imitate him, because, you know, John was pigeon-toed,
yeah.
And he'd stick that, you know, his chest out and walk up there, and then he would, like, imitate. Everybody would crack up laughing, because Chuck never did that kind of stuff. But, yeah, he used to call him John Wayne. I'm like, John Wayne's on a scooter, man. That ruined it for me.
That stuck out more than anything Russell did, huh?
Yeah. Well, I thought the funny thing was, and I know this is a stupid joke that people do all the time, but when he tells Peyton that there's a caller for him, his name's Mike Roach. He's like, he says he knows you. His name's Mike Roach. I thought that was funny, man. I don't know.
Mom's laughing at it, too.
Did you think it was funny, Mike?
No, just because The Simpsons did that joke, what, like 30 years ago? But
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't watch cartoons.
Okay.
Did you find any part of the video funny?
No. It was very awkward. Very really? Cornball-y to the top.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you call
especially
it?
Cornball-y?
Cornball-ery.
Cornball-ery. Yeah. Especially the second clip, if you get to it.
Yeah, we'll get
to it. It's the worst.
This is so he's playing a chef, or he's playing like the, you know, they got the chef at the Virginia Mason Athletic Center.
Yep.
And they have one there at the Broncos facility, and he was playing that role.
Now that I'm starting to get the hang of this whole intern thing, it's been great that the Broncos are giving me the freedom to show what I do best.
And they got the chicken thighs.
Let's see what that meat is talking about.
Taste that. Hey, yo, chef. Y'all got some more meatloaf in the back?
Anything for you, Mr. Handler, Mr. Judy?
Appreciate you, OG.
On God.
That new guy, he cooks a mean steak.
By the way, they did have Jerry Judy in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. He was one of the two there asking for food, and Russell peeks around the corner with a chef's hat on and some tongs. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought those two guys did a good job. You know, I mean, as far as the, you know, acting their part, but Nathaniel Hackett was in it, right? Is that who that was?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the guy who said he cooks a mean steak.
Yeah, gotcha. So, yeah, I mean, it's I think for Seahawk fans, they're going to look at that and remember all of the times that Russ was very corny. And then, you know, like maybe the cheesiest thing he did, which I still didn't mind. I never had a problem with Russ.
Yo, Seattle, we got a deal.
There it is. I'm glad you had to say it instead of me, Bob. But yeah, that was all of a sudden. It's like, well, that doesn't sound like him.
No, that was a different voice he had. That was his nighttime voice.
Nighttime voice, yeah.
We got a deal.
Well, Jake, my son, he was Russell's rookie year when him and Turbo were roommates. He was like worked security on that floor. And he said, you know, Russ sounds a lot different when he's hanging out with Turbo. And
oh yeah, you know, we've seen it.
Yeah,
we've seen it.
A lot different.
He's kind of like Brock. Brock will just sort of take on the affectation of whoever he's speaking to. So if it's somebody with a Southern accent or somebody that's got a different kind of accent, whatever, he starts speaking that way. So I think that's kind of how Russell is. He gets around a certain group. And he speaks one way, and then when he's in the media, he's got a very deliberate delivery, and it's very precise, and he's very proper, I guess. So yeah, he's a man of many voices, Dave.
You do a good job of imitating an old white man,
Bob. The nerdy guy. All right, that does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Stephen Souza Jr. and Michael Bumpus, for joining us on the show. If you missed any of it, it's at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab, scroll down to our picture and click on that. Everything you missed is waiting there for you each and every day. Click subscribe. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.